Mama said there'd be days like this. There'd be days like this, Mama said. Actually, today's good. Just had a bit of a rough last week. I'll be back in LA by the time this airs, but only for a week before I'm away again. On the podcast this week, contemplations about the nature of dating with my current lifestyle, and the second part of my interview with the gorgeous, fantastic cat whose smile and kind, open-minded attitude brightens my life every time I see her. It's my unconventional life. Meow. I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is my unconventional life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? So yeah, last week was a little tough mentally, just got in my head a lot. But now I'm back to meditating, first thing in the morning and last thing before I go to bed, and exercising every day, so I feel much better. And being back in LA will help too. God, I love it there. I mean, I always knew my new work schedule was going to take some getting used to. And if I have a kid, it's going to necessitate an adaptation too. But that's okay. I've learned to be quite an adaptable fellow over the years. One thing I hadn't realized quite so much, though, is how people will treat you differently when you have kids. Or more so, actually, how they'll treat you differently when they find out you're going to try to have kids with someone. But I guess I understand that. And it's okay. Because to be honest with you, you know, it's hardly like I have a line of women waiting outside my door every morning. As my comedian friend would put it, frantically masturbating with a withered hand from carpal tunnel syndrome on the off chance I may sleep with them. Funny guy, my friend. The point is that if someone isn't willing to accept you for who you are inside, actually no, if they don't like you for who you are inside, then they're not for you. In Mark Manson's book, he said that you should look at dating as screening. Screening people to see if they're right for you, not the other way around. Instead of going on a date and going, oh, I hope she likes me, go on a date and say, I hope I like her. Now, I know there are people who get me, and I know there are people that I get. The question is, how many? Because I'm pretty unusual. So clearly, I'm looking for someone who's pretty unusual too. And by definition, unusual people are in the minority. So it can be hard if your screening process means that 95% of people won't be good matches for you. That means if you meet 20 people a year, it's going to take that long to find one that will even have the potential to progress beyond a couple of dates. But maybe that is the same for everyone. I guess it's just other people seem to have lots of sex while they're waiting to find them. I get it. I'm fully aware of my self-fulfilling prophecies, and I'm working on them. The reality, however, is that being honest will disqualify me with a lot of people. Just as my schedule makes it hard to see people who, being honest, doesn't disqualify me from. And people flake a lot. It's another reason why dating just one person at a time isn't a very productive strategy, irrespective of if you're monogamous or not. The only way of increasing your probability of meeting someone who's a good match for you, or some people, if you're that way inclined, is to meet more people. I suppose it's obvious, really. Right now, though, I do have high hopes for the girl in LA. I'll have to find out if I can call her by a name or have to create a nickname for her. I'm going out to the Magic Castle with her this week. Super excited, hoping it works out. but I need to make sure it's because I really like her, not just because she's the first girl that I've really connected with on both a physical and mental level in quite a while. Wait a second. Isn't that what really liking someone means? I overthink things sometimes. Do you think? So I edited the interview with my best mate Al from Australia this week. That's going to be on here in a few weeks. And it sort of reinforced a lot of the advice that some of my friends have been giving me about having kids. More so the worries and concerns that they have from their experiences and how they seem wholly sure that I am unprepared. Got to be honest, it's a little aggravating at points, largely because they have no advice about what I should do instead, other than be normal, be like us. But I'm not. And more often than not, that doesn't work anyway, because perhaps no one is normal. So at best, it's a bad bet. I need to grow some fucking nuts and forge ahead. People told me not to try to be a wrestler. Be strong, young grasshopper. Wink face emoji. Anyway, Kat, my dear, what wisdom do you have for us this week?
Perhaps, you know.
Yeah.
But you've met Eri.
Yes.
You met Rachel before?
No.
You never met Rachel, no, but you've heard plenty about her.
Yes.
And you heard a little bit about Supermum as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what's your take? You think I should move forward soon with Eri, or you think that's too quick? I mean, I've known her 7 weeks now. She seems pretty sold on me, if I'm honest.
I have a good feeling about Eri.
Yeah?
Yeah, and just from hearing her talk, I feel that she wants similar things as you do in terms of raising the child, in terms of having the stability and everything like that.
Yeah.
Because she's, I mean, just from talking, she's so setting herself up for that event.
Yeah, setting herself up for success.
Yeah. I mean, she's putting a lot of thought into planning, looking at schools, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to take time off. This is very important to her and she's putting it first.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not something that's, oh, I want to have a child. Oh, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much, yes, this is something that I'm going to do properly and responsibly and with love.
Right, absolutely. Yes. And then your take, and obviously you've only met her like the one time, mm-hmm. your take on her worldviews in terms of romance and dating and stuff like that. Because a lot of people have said, be careful, because if you have a kid with a girl, she's going to fall in love with you. She's not going to want you to see anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people have told me that, but my gut instinct is that she knows herself pretty well. You know, she's 37, she's lived a lot, and mm-hmm. I think she really does know who she is. Now, could those biological hormones when she gets pregnant make her feel jealousy and make her feel insecure? Absolutely. But I think she'll handle it well.
I think so too, again, because her focus is the child.
Yeah.
First and foremost. And she's going into it knowing that it's not a monogamous situation and right. everything like that. I mean, obviously you've discussed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel her head is screwed on very tightly to where if that was a concern, then she would raise that for herself.
Right. She wouldn't let it affect the relationship with the child.
No.
Yeah. And we've discussed that. We've discussed having a monthly meeting to discuss any issues that come up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and I think you'd have a gorgeous little child.
Yeah, right. You know.
Wouldn't you?
What do they call that? Like genetic crossbreeding or something like that? Ethnic breeding? And I do think that. I do think. I've always said that. You uh-huh. know, I think if you have parents from different ethnicities, mm-hmm. then usually the kid is pretty well to do. And I think certainly our age, that would probably help as well. Because she's 37, I'm 41. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I think that's just the way human beings are designed, right. which is kind of ironic because oftentimes you find human beings kind of racist and want to only have kids with someone of their own ethnicity.
Right.
Yet I think from a genetic standpoint, it works better in the opposite direction, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it would come out beautiful.
Right. Good. So that's a thumbs up then, yeah?
Yes, it's a thumbs up.
Fantastic.
Thumbs up from me.
Now, you don't want to have kids yourself? You never wanted to have kids? Or I know we've talked about it.
No, not really. There was briefly a time when I was in a relationship where I was sort of had the romantic idea of maybe, mm-hmm. you know, and then I've also had the idea that maybe one day I would adopt one.
Ah.
And I sort of have this even more romantic idea that it would somehow find me.
Oh, wow.
That there would be some kind of an incident or a coincidental meeting where I would come across a child that needed a home and that I would take it.
Right.
That kind of thing.
All right.
And I also, because for me, I'm not that keen on babies. You know, I like them when they're two.
Yeah. Right.
So that would potentially be an option. That can always be an option.
Yeah.
So that's not, that would never be a problem right. at my age or anything like that.
Well, there's that movie I watched with my mum called Lion, isn't it? About that family in Australia that adopted a couple of kids from India.
Right.
And they could have had kids themselves, but they felt like there were so many kids in the world that needed good parents.
Right.
That was, you know, the conscientious thing to do. And that is certainly admirable.
Yeah.
It really is. I think I just talked to someone else recently, actually, who felt the same way, that if they were going to have kids, they'd want to do that.
Yeah. I always kind of felt that way too.
Yeah.
And especially for me, not being monogamous, the idea of choosing a father, like I would still feel it was a big deal, you know, who the father was. And I still would have this romantic idea of it would have to be somebody really, really, really special.
Right.
One way or another.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, right? Yeah. Mm. When was the last time you were in a monogamous relationship?
A couple of years. A
couple of years? Since you've been sober, obviously, right? The two didn't go hand in hand.
They sort of went hand in hand.
Yeah?
Because it sort of happened during.
Gotcha. And do you feel like now you're pretty much, this is where you're going to be for the rest of your life? You've figured out who you are? Or do you think there are issues that could come up? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get at is for me, I don't use the term polyamorous because I don't think it's helpful. I think it's divisive a lot of the time. I know there are people in the polyamorous community who feel otherwise. That feel that it starts a discussion and that if that discussion goes in the right way, great. If it doesn't, then these aren't the sort of people you should be dating anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of understand that.
Right.
But whatever label you do or don't use, I'm still finding it quite problematic to get my needs met. And it's not just about getting laid, although that is obviously the physical need for sexual gratification is important.
Yeah.
But it's the sense of needing touch and connection, you know, in your life.
Right.
I'm finding that that's no more easy to get in the non-monogamous world than it is in the monogamous world. Do you find any difference or not?
No, not really. But for me, I don't need it a whole lot.
Oh, because you've got no libido?
Yeah, I don't have much of a libido, especially since I'm sober too, to be honest, you know. And and also, this will sound weird too, but I got the cats.
You're the cat lady.
And snuggling with the cats is like, it's kind of like just as good most of the time.
Really?
I mean, and then, and for me, I'm open to meeting somebody and being having that being in love feeling and everything like that, but it's not a focus to where I have to make time to try and find that.
Right.
You know, I like it to sort of happen by itself. And then if I come across it and it's beautiful and magical, then I'm like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
But I don't need to seek it out. And usually if I try and seek it out, I don't find what I want anyway.
Right.
Because I can find an attractive guy to go to bed with, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to have an emotional connection, which is what I want.
Yeah.
Or that it's going to in some kind of way make me feel like, wow, this is magical, which is what I want.
Mm.
I don't want to waste my time on just going to bed with somebody, basically. Like, to me, that's not, I don't really get anything out of it.
So there's no desire, you have no desire for just the physicality of sex. Because I always used to think women had no desire to have sex and that they just wanted to find a boyfriend or a husband and they knew they had to give up sex to get that. But recently I've talked to girls and maybe that's just because I've been around a lot more non-monogamous, sexually open and evolved girls, perhaps, who've said, man, I need to get fucked. I just need to get really fucked, really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? No girls like that. I mean, is that ever a desire or is it?
No, I mean, I used to feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know if it was, well, for one, you know, when I was younger, maybe.
Right.
Because at the moment, too, it's very much a mental thing, too. For me, I'm so focused on everything else that if I was more in my head where I was in a more relaxed state, I would probably be more into it. But because I'm so much focusing on the things that I'm doing, I don't really think about it too much.
Yeah.
And then also when I was younger, I used it because I needed attention and I needed to feel that somebody liked me or somebody loved me. Yeah, self-esteem, exactly, because sort of suffered it then. But now I don't feel that way anymore.
Hmm.
You know, I'm not upset anymore if somebody doesn't like me.
Yeah.
You know, you might be sad for a second if somebody doesn't like you back that you like. But it's not like, oh my God, I want this guy to like me. And then when I was younger, I would think that if I could get them into bed, that meant that that was affection.
Yeah.
Or that they had, you know, thought it was great. But it doesn't mean that.
Not necessarily.
Necessarily.
Right.
So I come to it from a different standpoint now. I'm sure this, I mean, everybody's different. Again, I'm sure there's lots of women who do just like the physical sensation of it.
Yeah.
And do want the physicality of sex and everything that comes with it. For me, it's more, I want to be emotionally and spiritually connected to the experience.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not, I get bored very quickly.
Right. Yes. So if you do have that emotional connection with a guy.
Yes.
The butterflies you talked about, you're yes. open to finding that with a right. guy.
Yeah.
You don't think that that's going to lead you to feeling monogamous? Like you don't want that guy to experience that with anybody else and you're not open to experiencing that with anybody else? Because most girls would say that is what's going to happen if you find that.
Well, I do feel that way for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And I used to say when I first started, you know, having non-monogamous relationships, I used to say I'd always have to have at least two.
Right.
Lovers,
I remember you saying that.
Because otherwise you get trapped into this, oh, well, we're happy together, whatever.
One-itis. Yeah.
But it's not necessarily necessary to actually cut off the other options to have that feeling, because in real life, as I've discovered now, I can feel that way about more than one person at the same time.
Right.
And so it's almost like it's a trap that you fall into. It's like one of them, you know, sticky fly traps. You kind of get stuck to it and you're like, oh, this feels good, you know. And after a while, when you see another fly over there that you really like, you're like, oh, man, I got trapped somehow. I didn't mean to.
That's an interesting analogy, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I don't know if it's really correct. It just came into my head.
Oh, it's as good as any, right?
Right.
It's as good as any. Yeah.
Yes.
So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think I can be successfully non-monogamous? And in my mind, being sexually non-monogamous, mm-hmm. I would like to be sexually active
uh-huh.
with someone once a week, maybe right. twice a week at most.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't have to be the same person.
Right.
Now, could I be sexually with just one person and no one else and feel happy? Potentially for a short period of time, but I do feel that eventually I'd want to see someone else. And so that being the case, that could be problematic in terms of being just monogamous. But I mean, how feasible is it, do you think, for me to really live this sort of lifestyle?
Well, I think that it's been on your mind for so long
mm-hmm.
and you've been working towards it and it seems to make you happier than the other option.
Right. Do you think I'm close? I mean, I feel as though I'm closer. I mean,
yeah.
as I say that, of course, mm-hmm. I've had sex, full-on sex,
mm-hmm.
twice since May of last year.
Right.
With the same girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've made out with a handful of girls and, you know, got a little bit further
uh-huh.
with Eri and, you know.
Yes. Well, I think this is the problem of the changing times. Because it's almost a transitional stage where making the choice between monogamous and non-monogamous is becoming a bigger thing, but slowly. So it's not really in the mainstream yet, but it's
right.
getting more and more talked about, at least where people, when they hear the phrase polyamory, they go, oh yeah, I've heard of that, or I know what that is.
Right.
So then during that transitional period, it's going to be harder to live that lifestyle than once it's fully flourished and gone into the mainstream where people go,
right.
oh yeah, I accept that.
Do you think that's really the difficulty? That's the problem with leading that sort of a lifestyle, is just that it's not really accepted by mainstream society? Because I don't know if it really is.
I think so, because it's because you don't grow up thinking of that as a choice.
Right. But I think for me, I'm talking me personally as yes. opposed to as a general rule of guys mm-hmm. being non-monogamous,
mm-hmm.
I think I just need to be more forward, perhaps. I went for a weekend retreat and met plenty of non-monogamous girls who I like.
Yes.
And we're all sort of friends and having coffee and hugging and talking about non-monogamy. And
right.
Not really sort of making out or doing anything more because either they've got boyfriends or I just, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
I've always been someone who's sort of held back in that regard. In some ways, right. It's good because
yes.
It means I've got loads of friends who are girls who, you know, I probably would have ballsed up if I'd tried to make out with them. Although, Caitlin, right? Mm-hmm. You know, if I hadn't had big lips and shaved my arms, then maybe that would have worked out.
Right.
But we have a great friendship now, yes. And we did make out in the past. I don't think it's necessarily a deal breaker. It's not a death knell for a friendship, is it, to sort of make out with someone?
No, not at all.
Right.
Well, then perhaps it's your pulling technique.
Maybe. I just feel, I have felt recently like I'm on the verge, though. But I always say that. Oh, I'm on the verge. I'm on the verge of being exactly where I need to be. And that's a cop-out. It's a cop-out of me not, you know, making the changes necessarily to do it. But like I said, I mean, there are, I'm friends with a lot of girls who I feel that sort of connection with.
Yes.
And I just, for me, I don't want to be that weird, creepy guy who goes for it before I feel that real genuine connection and rapport.
Right. So perhaps would it help you to be more forward in terms of just saying to them, hey, can we go on a date? Like make it clear what your intention are before you go out. And then once you are out, it might become more naturally.
I feel like I already do. And I've gone on these dates and I have, you know, made out with a couple of girls, but then it just doesn't go beyond that. And a lot of it is just logistics, you know. We live too far away from each other. Or they're busy with their other relationships or their jobs, or I'm away all the time.
Right.
So a lot of it is that fact that they're just not around a whole lot of time. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say I feel like I'm on the verge.
Right.
Because it's all there. It's like I'm near this tree and there are all these fruits that I can just almost pick them. I can almost pluck them and they're, you know, I just think they're there.
Yes.
So maybe it's just a question of time.
Right. Yeah, that's probably what it is then. Yes.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
And do you think that by having a kid with Eri, that will affect my ability to date?
I think it will affect your priorities. And then also, obviously, it would affect your time management.
Right.
Because you wouldn't want to introduce your child to a whole bunch of girlfriends.
Right. This is true.
So you want to keep that separate, I would think.
Yeah. And that's what we discussed for sure.
Yeah.
So it could be problematic in that regard.
Yeah. That being said, a handsome man with a small child is very attractive.
Right. Yes.
Especially somebody who is there for the child and obviously dotes on it.
Exactly.
And taking care of it.
Chick bait.
And puts it first.
I like it. So I could take my little baby out to like a coffee shop and just sort of like dangle him around attractive girls and go, look, he's mine. I take care of him. I make sure he doesn't die. Want to make out?
Basically, yes. I think that's a good plan.
Fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
Let's get Eri pregnant as soon as possible. Oh, I don't know. It's a funny world we live in, isn't it?
Right? It is, yes.
It is a funny world and it's a changing world. It certainly feels that way. I do feel like the world's getting to be a better place now. Little by little. Hook and by crook, you know?
Right.
I think that human beings are evolving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's two steps forward, one steps back.
Right, true.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, you always seem to have a good attitude. You always seem to be very positive and stuff like that. Do you feel like you'll ever get to a period of stasis in your life where creatively, sexually, romantically, it'll all work? Or you think it'll always be a work in progress?
Oh, I think it will always be a work in progress.
Yeah.
Yes. Because in terms of creativity and things like that, you know, anytime I think, oh God, I hope I don't run out of ideas, I have way too many that I can even, you know, put together. So I think that will always be so important to me. Like, I don't think that would ever stop, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, maybe not, you know. Maybe not. But you plan to stay in Los Angeles and just keep on trucking on like you are now, right?
Yeah, for now, yes. Yeah,
right, it's a beautiful city.
Yes.
Good place to raise a child?
Yes.
Would you be interested in babysitting a very cute English-Japanese baby?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yes.
Good, because I'm trying to build up a network of potential babysitters, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
Right. So do you have any advice for people who are sort of perhaps in a stage now where they're contemplating non-monogamy?
Mm.
What would you say?
I would say to, I guess, figure out what really works for them and what feels natural to them and what makes them happy and feels right. And then I suppose if they're considering it, but they're not really sure how it can fit into their life, then, you know, there are groups and communities they can go to and ask the...
Like SPLA?
SPLA, yeah. You know, things like that, where they could meet other people that have experience in that arena. And also to see, I guess, you know, that they're not alone.
Mm.
Because you might come to the conclusion that, oh, you know what, I just can't be monogamous. There are people who just can't do it.
Mm.
They try because society says they have to, and otherwise they're a bad person. And so they get into monogamous relationships and they're trying so hard, but they find themselves almost not being able to.
Mm.
And then finding themselves judged. And so to understand that it is okay to be that, and that there are ways to do that openly and honestly and not having to hide that.
Yeah, that's been the biggest realization for me, having hung out with so many people who've been consensually non-monogamous, is that it's okay and you can do it, and it's a perfectly valid way of loving.
Right. And I think also it's easier still for a woman, because with a guy, there's still the stereotype that guys just want to sleep around.
Right.
Which obviously biological, there is a certain predisposition, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that that's always still being judged, and the whole thing, oh, you're just afraid of commitment.
Right.
Or what if I just don't want commitment? Why is that not okay for me to just say, no, thank you. I don't want to be committed to one person.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, oh, you're a commitment phobe. That makes you bad in some way.
Right.
It's like, no, that's my choice. I would like to not be committed.
Yeah. I think it's a perfectly valid way of living for sure.
Right.
Right.
Because people think that polyamory or non-monogamy is about sex and about getting to sleep with different people, but it's about freedom and it's about honesty and being able to authentically live whatever feelings you have in whatever moment with whoever you meet, rather than trying to deny part of yourself because you're trying to do the right thing in some way.
I think that is a beautiful way of putting it. It's probably a good way to end things up here as well.
Yes.
Where can people find more about you? Now, you mentioned you've got that web series that you've created. Where can they find that?
Well, that's called Red Light Diaries, and that's on YouTube. So if you type in Red Light Diaries, it'll pop right up. Then my Twitter and Instagram are both Katarina's Infamy. My website is katarinasinfamy.com. And then Facebook is facebook.com/katarinasinfamy as well.
Very nice, very nice. What are you going to be working on next? Have you got a lot of stuff coming up? Or
I'm just writing
a
bunch of things, and I'm trying to see what can be developed from my vantage point now.
Right,
as it were.
Yeah.
You know, trying to meet the right people also to
help
guide me into the right direction of what to do with whatever project.
And I think in terms of non-monogamy, you're probably in the same place as well, right? You're open to meeting new people that just sort of...
Yes, basically available. Just kidding. Just
kidding. That's funny, isn't it? That's funny. But true.
Right.
So here we are.
Right.
I think everybody should be available. Not necessarily sexually, but I think you should be available to meet new people and learn and connect and... live joyfully and wonderfully in the beauty that is life.
I agree.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. So we're going to make some salmon and broccoli, and then we're off to the improv.
Yes.
To watch Caitlin's boyfriend make us laugh.
He's great, by the way.
He is great. Well, maybe we'll have him on the show as well.
Yes, that'd be interesting.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. All right, sweetheart. God bless you. Love. Thank you for your years of friendship. May they Ditto. Continue until we get grey and old.
Yes.
And you still have all your kits.
Right.
All right. See you, sweetheart.
See
you. Oh, Kat. Oh, I love you. Make sure you check her out. And if you're a potty fella, I am certain you will be looking her up immediately. Next week's interview is with Ange, one of the small number of girls I've been sexually intimate with in the last few years, and a genuine friend. We met a few months after I split up with my ex-girlfriend, and our relationship, always non-monogamous, in agreement, if not always in actuality, has developed alongside my own notion of what I want and who I am in terms of sexual exclusivity. Mm-hmm. If I'd have said, oh, let me stop you, Ange, before anything else happens, I need to tell you, I'm non-monogamous, I'm polyamorous. How would that have made you feel? Would you have gone, wait a second, that's a little bit early for me telling me this? Or
I think back then, I mean, when I hear polyamory, you kind of think of like multiple wives and stuff like that.
Polygamy, right.
Yeah, polygamy, exactly.
I'll see you next week. Well, that is it. Another week on this earth, another blessing. Thank you for listening and being part of my journey. Drop me a line if you have a comment or question, or if you think you know someone who'd be a good parenting partner for me. If you like the show, help spread the word, write a review, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss an episode. I will be back next week, but until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, be kind and happy. Let love rule. Hello.